Take your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 16. Thank you, Brother Hammonds and Mrs. Hallman, for that wonderful special. And Krista playing the piano. Amen. Aren't you glad that you belong to Jesus? Yes. Amen. We used to belong to the devil and to sin, but now if you're saved, you belong to Jesus. Yes. Amen. Acts chapter 16 this morning. I did want to give an update on Joseph Jonas. He did make it over to South Korea safely. And I was talking to Marcella before service, and he will be stationed at Camp Carroll. And a blessing is that Brother Mahaney, they remember him, he is currently over on a church there serving Camp Carroll. And then Brother Neil, who was here about a month ago, he is going to be over serving another church that services Camp Carroll there. So we know two people there, and a blessing that we're able to direct Joseph there and pray that he grow in the Lord there. So, and that... We're praying that a schedule is open as well to go to church. You know, they try and get you locked into schedules, keep you away from church sometimes. So we'll pray that that opens up for Joseph as well. Acts chapter 16. And this morning, this sermon is going to be a memorable sermon because of the title. And you'll find out why in a moment. But as we look at 2018, this is Vision Sunday. And this year is a year of opportunity. Can we turn the microphone down just to hear? It's a little loud. This year is a year of opportunity. This is the time for all of us to take notice of what's going on around us. We see there's so much unrest. We see so many things going on. And we also see that the forces of the devil are going forward, that they are on an onslaught against God and His Word. And we, as Christians, need to be going forward for the Lord this year. We are living in the last days. Our time for service is not tomorrow. It is not yesterday. The time is now. In our passage, we see in Acts chapter 16 and verses 9 through 12, we see two men, Paul and Silas, who are doing a great work for the Lord, and God calls them to do it. In a sermon entitled, Your Time Has Come. Your time has come. Your time has come to serve the Lord at Tabernacle Baptist Church this year. It is the time for Tabernacle Baptist Church to step out for the Lord and to do His bidding. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Acts chapter 16 and verses 9 through 12 this morning. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Let us pray together. Dearly Father, pray that you would bless this message, dear Lord, that you'd help me to be clear. And Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. I cannot speak to hearts. Lord, I could stand up here and give wonderful words, but Lord, they don't touch hearts. Only your Holy Spirit does. Lord, I pray that you would touch hearts, Lord, that we would be stirred. And Lord, that we would sign up once again for those who have faithfully served. And maybe some who have not made that decision yet to serve you faithfully with their life. Lord, that they would sign on the dotted line, that they say, Lord, whatever you want for me to do, I will do it. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct. Give me the words to say, dear Lord, that they be thy words and not mine. Speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, before I begin the message, I did not choose the title of my message this morning. I chose it last night, and I was sharing with my wife, and She was going through some labor pains there, and I said, Dear, you're not going to guess what the title of my sermon is this morning. And she goes, What? And I said, Your time has come. And she started laughing. But her time has come, and Philip's time has come, but also our time has come as a church. So we see in Acts chapter 16, we see a call from God that comes to Paul. And we first see this morning God's clear direction. We see that God gave Paul a clear direction. There wasn't any guesswork for Paul to do. God had a work for Paul to do and souls that needed to be saved. Paul saw a man from Macedonia. I said, well, how did he know that? At that particular time, as many parts of the world do, there was a distinctive dress, a distinctive way of speaking that this man, he saw this man, a man from Macedonia, say, come over and help us. We are seeking for God. We are seeking for the truth. We need God's truth. And Paul saw that, and he didn't say, well, I wonder if I ate too much pizza last night. I wonder what that was all about. Maybe I should think on this a little more. No, he knew that God had a clear direction for him. There was no mistaking this direction because God gives clear directions. Amen? He gives very clear directions. He gives very clear directions in regards to salvation. That there is no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. That's a clear direction for all of sin to come show the glory of God. That's a clear direction, indication of the sin of man. And that if we are simply, if whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a clear direction. We're the ones that make it unclear. We're the ones that make things murky. We're the ones that say, well, is this really what God has for me to do? Because we question the direction of God. The devil wants us to doubt God's will. Also, the devil makes his dead-level best to make sure God's will is murky to us. Make sure that there's some doubt to it. Make sure that it's unclear. Paul did not have any trouble understanding what God wanted him to do. So he lost no time at all getting to the work. The devil wants churches today to doubt their direction. He wants churches to doubt their purpose. He wants churches to doubt what God would have them to do. He wants churches to doubt what they are to be doing, if they're relevant for today. That's a great question today. Is God's word relevant to today? I think it's more relevant than ever has been. And we have to understand that God's word is relevant for today. It has the answers for today. It has the answers for today's problems. It has the answer for today's hurts. It has the answer for today's everything. And when we start believing that, then God starts to work. When we start using it in every situation, then we see God do a great work. But so many churches, they have so many doubts. The devil wants pastors to doubt what the direction is to be. The devil's got me to doubt at times and really tried to get me to doubt the direction for this church at different times. I've been here almost 6 years. 6 years in April. And there have been times when the Lord had impressed a direction upon me, but the devil then comes in and tries to get you to doubt. And sometimes he uses people. Oh, Pastor, I don't think we ought to do that. I'm so thankful that I haven't heard that much in this church. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Pastor, I don't think, Morris, Pastor, that's what we need to do. And I'm thankful for that. But sometimes God gives a clear direction. The devil uses other people. Well, is that sure? Is that really God's will? And starts to throw doubt on things. Also, the devil wants church members to doubt. He wants the members of this church to doubt what God's purpose and direction for our church is. Wants missionaries to doubt their call and what field they're to go to. We see this doubt take many forms. We see wrong priorities. We see churches that spend more time on public works projects and community projects than sharing the gospel. Nothing wrong with being involved in the community, but when you don't share the gospel, when you do it, you have the wrong priority. Sometimes they have priorities on any type of thing, but it's not the priority on the Bible and on God's word and on seeing people saved. That doubt can come in there with wrong priorities. Also, wrong practices. You see churches that have a wrong priority and a wrong practice as a result. They say, well, our goal is to fill up these pews with as many people as possible. Now, that's well and good. Is that a wrong thing? No. But how they go about it is because they equate numbers with success. They equate, hey, if we have 150 people in here, then we are successful. You can have 150 people in here and be a failure still. Because how do they get them in there? They put the rock stage up here. They put the drums and everything. They say, hey, this is how we get people to come. You know what? As a pastor, you're against having 150 people in. Oh, no, I'd love to see that by the end of the year. Amen. I would love to see that. Not because I want to have the glory, but so we can bring glory to God. That's the whole purpose of man, to bring glory to God. Amen. So don't ever get any other thing in your mind. Well, it's about me. It's never about us. It's about God. But what happens is churches make it about what the people want. make it about what makes the people feel comfortable. They makes it about what the flesh wants, and that's never the right priority and never the right practice. Instead of doing what God wants, what God's truth is and what His Word says. This doubt takes many forms. Priorities, wrong practices, wrong people. So what do you mean? That they go after, they are respecter of persons. They go after certain people groups. They go after the rich and the influential that can give them money for their church budget and forget about those who are in need. Not saying those who have money are not in need, but we should be not a respecter of persons because every lost person has a need for Jesus Christ. Not just the rich, not just the poor, not the exceedingly sinful or the exceedingly self-righteous. They all alike have a need for Christ. And we need to be doing that. All of this results in failure, but also results in fossilization. A church fossilizes when it stops reaching for the goals of God. If we love Jesus, then we'll continue striving. But why does a church fossilize? Look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 4. Now we see the message to Ephesus, a church there that also Paul helped start. And we see in the book of the Revelation, this was a time after, they believe 20 to 30 years, maybe 15 to 20 years after the time of Paul. As they remember, therefore, verse number 4, nevertheless, it's Jesus speaking, I have somewhat against thee. You know, we better be fearful if the Lord has something against us. Amen. That means you better change something. I am somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love, which was Jesus Christ. They had left their first love. They had left striving for the mastery. They had left heading toward that, striving toward the mark, as Paul said, because they had left their first love. They started loving something else. Maybe it was not innocent at first, but it begins to fossilize a church. It's God that makes a church a living thing. It is the Holy Spirit of God that binds us together. It's the Holy Spirit of God that gives us the power to serve Him and serve His purposes, not our own. I was listening to a preacher last night, had a very interesting thought. Is God a means to the end, or is God the end? And to understand that, we said, is He a means to an end, or is God the goal? God is never to be used as a means to get us anywhere. Understand that. God is the end of all things. His will and His glory is our entire purpose. We're never to use God to get going where we want to go. We go where He wants us to go. That's the purpose of man. A church fossilizes when it stops doing things for God and tries to get God to do things for it. God has a clear direction for your life. God has a clear direction for our church. And God has a clear place for you to serve and have a part of God's vision for this church this year. And that's our theme this year. There's a place for you. Every single person sitting in here this morning, young or old, there's a place of service for you in this church, if you'll have it. There's a place for you to help. There's something that you can do to bring glory to God with your life. So let's look back at Acts chapter 16. We see in verse number 9 that we see the call that came that it was clear. And number 2, Paul did not need man's clarification. The message was so clear, so direct, so vibrant, it did not need man's commentary. Well, how do we know that? Look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 16. Now, Galatians chapter 1, as you look at it, at the first chapter, they had departed from the doctrine, the true gospel of Christ. They had been infected by the doctrines of the Judaizers, introducing the law into salvation. Lordship salvation, what we would call it today. But introducing works into salvation, and that they, and it said the verse that we know here, if any angel, anybody else, comes preaching another gospel, let them be accursed. But it says here in verse 16, of Galatians chapter 1, and to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. When he got the Macedonian call, the call to go to the Gentiles, the call to go into that part of Asia, he didn't say, well, I need to have a committee meeting about this. I need to make sure this is God's will. Now, he just saw a vision, and God had revealed it to him. And, you know, he knew something about hearing directly from God. Amen. He knew something about that. Paul did. And so he heard that. And you know what he did? What does it say in Acts chapter 16, verse number 9? A vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And the next thing you see Paul do is sit down and wait for a while. The next thing you see is you see Paul just sit and wait. No, that's not what you see. Verse number 10. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Immediately, didn't waste any time. Hey, this is an urgent thing. We need to be about God's business. Not tomorrow, not the day after, not next week, not when it's convenient for me, but right now. And that's what we need to be about in Tabernacle Baptist Church. God's business. Immediately, didn't need man's clarification. Paul knew what he was supposed to do. He knew who he was supposed to serve. He knew where he was going to get his power. So many churches look to what men have to say. They look to the leaders of today for their leadership. There is a very popular thing today that in order to have your church grow, that you need to go to church growth workshops. And you need to go. Now, nothing wrong necessarily with some of these things and to go to a conference and get encouragement. But you know where we should get our direction from? You know where we should get our model for our church? We should get it from God and not from man. Because man gets funny ideas about things. Man is good at organizing things. And nothing wrong with having a church that organized. So thankful everyone that helped today and got things going. You know, and I feel bad that I wasn't able to be here for Sunday school. But you know what? Because the organization that we have, hey, bus went on. Sunday school went on. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. So thankful. You know, it doesn't all depend upon me. We serve, all serve the Lord. Amen. And so thankful for that. The work of God went on. But so many churches, they have man's ideas of how to grow a church. Church growth, that you need to have your church look a certain way. That you have to have a certain type of pew to get people to stay. You ought to have a certain type of this, a certain type of that. You got to have your website look just so. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with having things look nice. That's great. We should have God's house be the best looking house in town. Amen? But when we say we'll only get people if we do this, we've lost the sight of everything. Because people should come and sit in these pews, not because we have nice pews, not because we have a pretty pulpit, not because we have the best music, not because of this. They should come because they're going to hear the truth. That's why they come to church. And that's why people should come. And that falls on those who preach. That falls on me and others that teach in their Sunday school class. You know why your kids will keep coming? Not because you give them the most candy, but because you teach them something that's real and they know it is. Kids know that. Adults know that. That's why people come, and so they will hear the truth. They look to the leaders of today. They look to prominent churches. Oh, they have 2,000 people, so I've got to do things just like them. How you let God grow the church and follow his model and serve him faithfully. Some look to prominent schools of today. They look to how these professors, they spend all their time teaching young people, teaching young preachers how to build a church when they've never been a pastor themselves. That was the experience I had. I had, oh, this is how you do this. This is how you do this. I've never been a pastor day in their life. They look to the prominent schools of today. But they look to all these things. They look to men. They look to prominent churches. They look to prominent schools. We need to be looking to Jesus Christ. We need to be looking to his word. And in 2018, Tabernacle Baptist Church is not going to be looking at what other churches are doing. We're going to be doing what God would have us to do. A question, are we willing to do what God would have us to do? Because God might ask us to do some big things. Are we willing to trust him for it? Are we willing to say, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm for it. Amen? Amen? Amen. Whatever God, whatever you want to use me for, I will do it. But don't ask me to do that. You know what? We all have a tendency to do that. Lord, I'll do everything you want me to, except that. You know, I just know I'm not called to do this. If you say you're not called to do it, you probably are. You're just denying it. I remember the number one thing that I didn't want to be when I was a kid, was a pastor. Because I saw how hard pastors work. I saw that they didn't get paid anything. And I saw that how much things they went through. I said, nope, that's not for me. So I'll be a lawyer or something like that. I'll be a pilot. Nope. The Lord had me be a preacher. And I fought it, and I fought it for a long time. And people have asked me, well, how did you get called into the ministry? It wasn't on a particular day. It wasn't at a particular time. It wasn't where I was. It wasn't a service where God said, you're going to be a preacher. It was more of a surrendering what God wanted me to do at the time and what God had for me. And I just kept following. I keep following. And then the Lord said, I want you to be a pastor one day. When I had been here for about a year and a half, so I want you to be a pastor. I said, well, I kept telling people, I'm going to be a missionary. Oh, so you're going to be a church planter. No, I don't want to be a pastor, but I'm going to be a missionary. You know, and I just said that before I realized that's what a missionary does. They're a pastor that goes around the world and starts a church, amen. As I'll be a helps missionary, I'll do this or that. The Lord, don't ask me to be a preacher. Now, I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. I wouldn't do anything else. And you know what? God has something in store for you this year. Maybe he's going to ask you to do something in the church this year. Maybe he's going to ask you to do something. Lord, anything but that. But then when you get doing it, man, I wouldn't do anything else. How many of us are going to fight God like that? Don't fight him. Say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. What did they do, Paul and Silas? What did they do? They just went immediately. They didn't need God. They didn't need man's clarification. They didn't need man's rubber stamp. They did what God said. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course, verse 11, to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And he said, man, wasn't it great? A great revival broke out in Macedonia. Well, that's not what happened. We see that they went there, and they were in there certain days, and they went down by the riverside, and they... In verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of the Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come on into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So we see that Lydia gets saved, and she gets baptized in her house, and there... saved. And so we see the start of a church there. So, wow, a great revival is about to break out. Well, then what happens is something that we know very well. That there was a young woman who was possessed of a devil, the spirit of divination. And she would cry after them, and she would go after them. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation, day and night. Every time she saw them, she would say that. It was the devil inside her saying that. Until Paul was grieved, and he said, in the name of Jesus. It wasn't his power, it was the power of Jesus. Come out of her. And you know what? She could no longer have the spirit of divination. They were mad about that. And we see that they were beaten and cast into jail. So then we find them in jail at Philippi. You know what? I think it would have been easy for Paul and Silas to be discouraged. Well, this didn't work out the way we planned. You know what? The devil's going to do his dead level best. You know, if we're making a decision today, we're going to serve God. Guess what was going to happen tomorrow? Devil's going to show up. I don't want you to do that, because when we start going forward and battling against the devil directly and we start waging warfare against him, he doesn't take it lying down. He doesn't just say, well, I guess we'll let him have his way. No, he's going to fight. And that's what he tried to do with Paul and Silas. But what did they do? They sang. And they gave praise to God. And you know what? They had met with adversity. You know what? They were on the right track. They were doing the right thing. I think Paul would have been a little worried if he had gotten in there and things just went easy peasy. And everything was fine. And everything was great. And there wasn't any opposition. But he got great opposition, but you know what? Because of that, they got whipped and beaten and put in that jail so that Philippian jailer could get saved. And all his house. So we see all this happen. But then, in chapter 17, you see how in Thessalonica, they said that these men had turned the whole world upside down with this doctrine of Jesus Christ. we see the moving of God begin to work. You know, that's exciting. I don't think you can read the book of Acts and not get excited about what God did back then. You know what our hearts say? Oh, I wish God could do that now. He can. He can do that now. I said, oh, are we going to see great signs and wonders? No, but just as real and just as powerful, the moving of God, He can move the same way today. Yeah. Let Jesus start a fire in your heart. We have to let the fire, we have let sometimes the fire go out in our hearts. We let complacency come in and throw a pail of water at the devil. We'll put, convince us that we're doing enough for God. We're doing enough. You know, whenever that voice says, well, you're doing enough, you know, we can never do enough for Jesus Christ. Amen. We never can. Because it's our reasonable service to be a living sacrifice, according to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. It's only reasonable. We can never do too much for God. But we have this mindset, oh, I've done too much for God. I've done enough. I've done my due. Let God decide when we've given enough. We have let the ice of complacency in. We have let the ice of pragmatism. Well, that's just not practical. You know what? God's plans don't seem practical to us, but they're very practical to Him. We just don't see it yet. Amen? And that's where faith comes in, because we know God is the master planner. We know that God is the master of the whole universe, and I think He can figure out a plan for our life. I think He can figure out a plan for our church. And we let the devil convince us of these things. But this year, are we, as a church, going to let God start a fire in our hearts? Are we going to try harder than ever before to see people saved this year? You know what? It's a hard thing to go out there sometimes. And you know what we do? We say, hey, we go out there, and I hope that we see people saved. And, you know, we go out there and we should expect God to do something. But you know what happens? We get discouraged in our soul winning. We go out and we have people that don't want to hear anything about it, that slam the door in our face, and we say, well, this isn't what I signed up for. But remember, your purpose is to bring glory to God. Every door that gets slammed in your face, you're still bringing glory to God. Right. Even though they say they don't want it, you're still bringing glory to God. But there's going to be that one or two or three that want to hear and get saved, and never would have unless you went out and knocked on their door or gave them a tract or talked to them. You know what? People are friendly. Do you know that? You know, I'm one of those people that I think people are just afraid to talk to me because I'm afraid to talk to them. You know, I think it's two ways. Some people are like that, but you know, I just go up and, you know, we start having a conversation with somebody, and it's a really nice person, and then you get around, what do? I'm a pastor. First time ever this happened. I was getting my hair cut on Friday morning. Also, one thing, if you're wearing a collar, a white collar, don't get your hair cut, because it gets down in there. It's just not comfortable. But I was there, and I was talking to the lady there. She was cutting my hair. I said, what do you do? I said, are you going to work? Yes, I'm a pastor. Oh. Never got that reaction. I'm like, oh, that's great. It's like, oh, and she didn't talk to me the whole rest of the time. I don't know if she was afraid of me or what. You know, I was nice to her and everything, but it would just go, oh. You know, and then she started cutting my hair a little faster. I don't know what that was all about. I don't know. But, you know, we have a witness. Oh, you know, I go to Tabernacle. Oh, I'm a Christian. We have a testimony with people. But are we going to try harder than ever before to see people saved? And we're going to share more of these things in depth next Sunday morning. I wish we could do it tonight, but we're not going to be able to. But I'll share some things. We're going to see some new things this year to see people saved. We want to start working in nursing homes to see people saved. It was so great for the Christmas caroling that we went, and one lady was able to be led to Christ. Annie, her name was Annie Buckley. We're so thankful for her. That she got saved. We want to try working as the Lord leads, brings people to do it. You know that I can't do everything. So the Lord's going to have to bring someone. May the Lord lay something that upon someone's heart in here today. As a pastor, I want to help in that. We're gonna start a new move-in ministry in the area. We have a list of people that have newly moved to the area. And we're going to be reaching out to these people and try to see them get saved and have them come to church. We have every month in the wintertime, we have 150 to 180 people moving into Killeen every month within a 5-mile radius of our church. In the summertime, it goes up to almost 300 a month and within 5 miles. That's huge. And we want to try and reach every single one. Are we going to be able to reach one every single month? We're going to do our dead level best to reach as many as God would have us to reach. And we're going to try our hardest for Him and see people saved, to see people come to church. We're going to try harder than ever before to see people grow in the Lord, to see people become faithful, to see lives change, to see people called to the ministry. We're going to try harder than ever before to see lives changed forever. Because God is a miracle-working God, isn't He? I mean, God, someone as big as God can't move into your heart and something change. Amen? You know, people say, well, I got saved. Anything changed? No. Well, then you didn't get something then. Because if God moves into your heart and the person of the Holy Spirit, guess what? Something's going to change. We're going to go forward trusting more than ever before to see God work. We're going to trust more than ever before for the provision of God. We're going to pray more than ever before to see the power of God. You know what? We ought to be tired of just going through the motions. That happens to me. As a pastor, that happens to you. It happens to all of us. We go through the motions. We get tired. And we think of all that God used to do. Guess what? God still can. And we can see what God will do. We need to be tired of sitting. We need to be tired of just getting along. We need to be ready to serve the Lord, and He will bring the increase. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 7. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Just in case we forgot that we are somebody, that we think that we're somebody, we think of ourselves more high than we ought to think. Look what I did for God. Remember, if you plant the seed, you're not anything. Neither the person that watered. The one who is somebody is the God that did the saving. God that did the growing. God that did the providing. But in order for that to happen, someone's got to be planting. In order for that to happen, someone's got to be watering. In order for that to happen, someone's got to be doing some harvesting too. We just can't accept God. Bring the increase. We're waiting for the increase. Well, are you helping to bring it? Are you out there planting? Are you out there watering with God's word? Are you out there ready to harvest what God has prospered and brought forth? If we're not, then we can forget about seeing the increase of God. Some want the increase without the planting. Some want the increase without the watering. You know what? God is not a short order cook. Where we say, hey, God, hey, this is what we want, and here, just do it for us. And we sit back and wait. It doesn't work that way. We say, God, what do you want me to do? And God says, I want you to go over here and knock on so-and-so's door and lead him to Christ, and I'll bring him the increase. Just give him the gospel. I'll do the rest. So I want you to go over here. I want you to preach to these people here. Don't worry about what you're going to do. I'll bring the increase. And we start trusting God instead of ourselves. We're going to see a lot more things happen. If we get up and do it our own strength, we're going to fail. Nothing happens spontaneously. You know what? We can just sit here all day long and we can put a stack of wood right here and say, you know what? I just believe 100% that this wood is just going to start on fire. It's just going to spontaneously combust. We all know that wood doesn't spontaneously combust unless you put some heat on it, unless you put some chemicals on it, unless you do something to it. There's something that has to be done for that to happen. And you know what? We can't be that like in our spiritual life. And then, yes, Pastor, I hear you. I want to be spiritually strong. I've set some goals. I want to read my Bible. I want to love my Bible. I want to do that. I'm just waiting for it to happen. Doesn't work that way. You know why you don't love your Bible? Because there's some other things that are hogging the attention from God's Word that you need to kick out. You know why you don't love the things of God like you do? Because you love something else. So find out what it is and kick it out. Nothing happens spontaneously. It takes work. Oh, it takes work. Yes, it does. Everything worth having takes work, including our spiritual walk, including the blessing of God. It takes work on our part. But will you make a decision today that in 2018 you'll become a lifelong servant of God? Maybe you never made that decision before. As I'm going to be lifelong, I'm not in it just for 2018. I'm in it for every year from now on to the day I die. I'm a servant of God. That in 2018 you'll renew your contract with God to be a lifelong servant. Maybe you made that decision. But you know what, Pastor? I want to re-up. I want to get back and we're serving God. And I'm going to be a servant like never before. You know what, every year our service should be a little bit better for God, not a little less. Should be a little more for Him, a little more faith going forward for Him. Will you make a decision that in 2018 you'll serve the Lord with all your heart here at Tabernacle Baptist Church? Will we make a decision as a church? I can't make a decision for you. I know the decision that I've made. And I know the decision that I make every year to see God do something great and to do what God would have me to do in regards to leading this church. But you have a place. You have a place of service. God has a ministry for you. God has a place for you this morning. The only problem is you have to decide to take it. He won't force it on you. He won't make you do it. But He wants you to serve Him. That in 2018, you'll plant and water wherever the Lord leads you to. Wherever He tells you, you better plant and you better water. And that in 2018, you will trust the Lord to do something great. Don't let the devil put your fire out. The devil wants to put your fire out. The devil wants you to be cold and callous. The devil wants you fossilized so you don't go forward. You know how a church gets fossilized? People start getting fossilized. People start getting apathetic. People start getting complacent. Guess what? Paul and Silas, they were not complacent. They weren't going to stand by and let these people die and go to hell without hearing the gospel. They were saying, well, it's too dangerous. Well, it's too much for us to do. It's too far away. They didn't say, well, is this really what God wants us to do? You know, some people do that. God is big flashing light. They know what it is. Oh, does God really want me to do this? Does God want me to do that? I don't know. The devil brings that down. Don't let the devil put your fire out. Don't let the world put your fire out. We're going onward and upward for the Lord with His strength and help. Your time has come to serve. Your time has come. My time has come. Your time has come. The Lord is coming again soon. Will you be working or sitting when He returns? How many of us remember our childhood? Remember a time when we were at work or at school? And maybe your dad or mom gave you a job to do with you and your sibling or you and somebody else, or gave you a job to do. As I'll be back in 10 minutes or 15 minutes or 30 minutes, and that work better be done. And then they leave, and then we say, well, I could really get this done in 10 minutes, so I'm going to spend 15 minutes doing something else. Right? And then you're doing that, and you end up not doing the work, or that other person's doing the work, and you're sitting there. Like the highway department, you see a lot of that. You see two people working and five people supervising. But then parent or your teacher or your boss comes back a little early than you planned, and they find you not working but doing nothing, and you can't explain it away. Oh, I was working. It's very obvious you were. Oh, I was doing this. And we see the disappointment on their face, and we feel the shame of not doing the job we were supposed to do. How much greater will it be when Jesus returns and doesn't find us watching? He doesn't find our lamps trimmed with oil. He doesn't find us ready, but he finds us sitting down, acting like he's never going to come during my time. There's been generations of Christians who have sat and said, well, he's not coming in my time, so what difference does it make? You don't know if he's coming in our time or not. But have you ever looked at the world? I mean, take yesterday for example. Half the entire West Coast thought they were going to get obliterated yesterday. I mean, that was a scary thing. 40 minutes. They thought, this is it. It's over. They didn't know if their time had come or not. Ended up being somebody that pushed the wrong button. Praise the Lord, it was somebody that pressed the wrong button. Amen. At least it was that, you know, that person doesn't have a job anymore. But still, made me think. The same way God doesn't have practice drills for us. When he comes back, he's coming. It's not saying, oh, this is a false alarm. I'm not really coming back right now. He doesn't do that. We have the Lord's Supper to remember him. Remember that he's coming back. Remembering what he has done. You don't know when he's coming back. How much greater will it be when he returns and he finds us doing nothing? Finds us sitting. Finds us not serving. Will you sign up today? Not to serve me, not to serve the church, but to bring glory to God as his children. If you do, you'll never regret it. And God will use your life for his glory.